I would rather have one person working with me than three merely working for me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Riley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with the Instant Inspiration. I would rather have one person working with me than three persons merely working for me. That sounds like a provocative type of statement. What does a person do who works with me, who works harmoniously with me, who seeks to achieve the goals that the organization has and that I have? What kind of person is that? Is that a person who is on the job merely to get their salary? Is that a person who is present merely to put in time, put in their 8 hours or whatever? Is that a person who is merely doing what they're told to do and using no inspiration and no imagination? Is that a person who is finding that the work they're doing is so exciting and so rewarding and so uplifting that it's the type of thing they really want to be involved with? Well, when a person works for me, that person very seldom has those attributes. When a person works with me, they're like a peer. They have equally the same interest that I do in the business that we're doing. Now you say, well, they don't own the business. Well, nobody owns a business. The person who owns the business has not got a big deal, because the person who owns the business is owned by his customers. He's owned by the people that he serves, the people that he reaches out to. And if those people aren't there, he doesn't get it. You get your salary regardless of whether you're he is a success or not, but for him, he has to make ends meet, and he has to pay bills, and he has to provide a place to have the business and all those things, regardless of whether money is coming in, regardless of whether it's a success or not. And the only time that he can quit his business is either going bankrupt or just closing the door and saying, I'm sorry, but we're not making enough money to keep the doors open. And this happens quite often. Out of, well, let's see. I think they said 2% of the businesses that are started in any 1 year succeed. All the rest fail. Now, that's not a very high interest rate, high rate, but there's an awful lot of businesses that start. Awful lot of people who go in with a dream in their mind and a desire to do something, but they haven't thought about it ahead of time. They haven't considered what is the responsibility of starting a business. What is the responsibility of going into business, of serving people? Do you have the ability to do that? Do you have the ability to do that regardless of the money that you take in? Well, not very many people can do that. And the reason that they can't do that is because they have all their life worked for somebody else. And they didn't see all the little details that the somebody else did to make that business a success. They didn't see all of the negotiations that were going on with the various suppliers and vendors to make sure that the quality came through for the least amount of price, so that they could in turn make that price into that sale into profit. And then the person who's in charge, he has to make sure that he's got quality people working for him to produce whatever they're producing, whether it be an intangible or tangible type of object. And that takes a lot of genius in the individual choosing people, not just saying, oh, you need a job, okay, come on. You want to attract or create in your world people who are outstanding to do the type of thing you want to do. You don't want to take the ne'er-do-wells, the people who are not interested in succeeding. You want the people who have an aspiration to accomplish great goals. And the only way you're going to get those kind of people is to be a goal seeker yourself. Now, this sounds more like a normal human being type of an operation than it does a spiritual operation. And that's exactly what it is. It's a normal human being type of operation. Now, how would we look at it if we were looking at it from the spiritual point of view, if we were looking at it from the divine point of view? What sort of values would we place on it? Well, number one, why are we going in business? If we're going in business to produce something we believe in, to be part of something that's important to us, that gives us joy and pleasure, that gives us a fulfillment beyond money or beyond anything else, then we're going in for the right purpose. Now, if we're going into business, or let's just say since we're going into business, and we want to do it from the spiritual point of view, we would create about us people with our same values. Now, it's not a matter that they're a flake, or not a matter that they are in there just for the money or just for the job or just to fill time. It's the idea that they, too, like whatever you're doing. If you are creating screwdrivers, they like screwdrivers. They think screwdrivers are the most wonderful thing in the world. They think that that would be the most exciting thing in the world. All the diversity of screwdrivers, the screwdrivers, yes, that even have metric and regular, and the screwdrivers that have long handles, short handles, long stems, short stems, the ones that are tiny and big, screwdrivers for the watchmaker, screwdrivers for the 18-wheel driver, you know, these people who have the need for large instruments and so forth. Well, what? Who's interested in screwdrivers? Well, it's not so matter of much, not so much a matter of who's interested in screwdrivers, but are you interested in serving the needs of the people in the screwdriver community, people who need to have them? Can you say in every home is one or more screwdriver? Very definitely. In every home, here at the monastery, we have, I would guess, maybe 200 screwdrivers. Because Ellen has screwdrivers in her drawer, Sylvia has them in her drawer, Ilse Ingeborg has them in her drawer, in the workshop of the workbench there, in the kitchen counter, there are screwdrivers. Then we go into the Citadel, and there are screwdrivers in the Citadel. We go into the Oasis, there are screwdrivers in the Oasis. We go into the Hermitage, and there are screwdrivers in the Hermitage. And Kip, when he passed on, he gave me a bunch of his screwdrivers, which were about 40 in number, maybe even more than that, but a lot of little tiny ones, a lot of big ones. And then I had screwdrivers myself. And then over in the embassy, we have tool chests that are filled with maybe 20, 30 screwdrivers. And then Ellen herself has at least 12 screwdrivers in her cabinet. And in the kitchen, maybe one or two screwdrivers. Then we go over to the Shangri-La. In the Shangri-La, we have maybe three or four, maybe a dozen screwdrivers in the house. And then out in the shop, there's at least three or four that I know of lying around, and there may be others that I haven't seen. And then we go into the office in the shop, and there's a bunch of screwdrivers in there, too, that were used for working in that office. Then we go into the greenhouse, and there's a bunch there. We go in back of the tractor, and there's three or four screwdrivers in the back of the tractor, and it's a rack. We go in many different places now. That adds up. Oh, my goodness, does that add up. So screwdrivers are quite predominant and quite dominant in every home and every activity. So do we like screwdrivers? Now you say, well, I can take them or leave them. But no. Do you like screwdrivers to make them the most powerful that they can be? Now, Mark is designing an engine, and he's designing it on a 3D software designer. And it shows where he can reduce the amount of metal and where he has to increase the amount of metal to give it more tension, more tensile strength, and so forth. Now, in a screwdriver, does a screwdriver have a lot of strength where it doesn't need it? Does it need that strength up in the handle where the screwdriver comes into the handle? Well, yes. Does it need it on the stem? Quite likely. Where does it need the most strength? It needs the most strength at the point of the screwdriver, because that's where it's twisting against the screw and it gets bent many times. And when it's bent, then it's a useless thing, unless you repound it and retemper it and prepare it, and the work that it takes to do that is cheaper to buy a new screwdriver. So, What does this have to do with the spiritual life, with the spiritual aspect of being a spiritual master, where we say, I'd rather have one person working with me than three working for me? Well, a person who's working with me, or if I'm working with another person, we have mutual goals that we respect. We have mutual desires that we respect. And it's not so much a matter of making a lot of money. It's putting out quality. But sometimes we have to tell ourselves, sometimes we have to put out a little less quality to make any profit. And so then we drop the quality. And when we drop the quality, bad things happen. Now, we've seen in the earthquake here of, what year was that? That was back in 76, 77. There's an earthquake in Los Angeles. And in the earthquake, many of the bridges fell down on top of the traffic down below. Many of the bridges, the freeway bridges, freeway overducts and underducts, collapsed. Now, why did they collapse? We didn't really make a big fuss about it, but why did they collapse? They collapsed because the engineers allowed an inferior grade of concrete to be used and an inferior grade of steel to be used. All those lives were lost because somebody did that. Now, there are many buildings that collapse too. And these buildings that collapse are made out of inferior materials. Do we want to have in our world, in our business, in our life, inferior materials that are going to create tragedy for people? I would say no. So we must really like our work and like the people that we're with. And people who work for you, they'll do whatever you tell them to do. People who work with you, they'll have a mind of their own, and they will also make sure that everything that they're associated with is the finest and the best, or else they leave. And that's fine too. Because anytime you're associated with any organization that is not up to the quality that you believe it should be, and that you believe that you are, don't be part of it. You know, first, seek to have them be up to the quality. This was done in a lot of businesses where they were not doing their business right, and then somebody told on them, and the business went out and under because they weren't following the proper rules. And it was probably only in one area. In the other areas, the business was excellent. It was doing everything but in one area, and of course, it's the financial area. And when that is done improperly, it just folds. I'd rather have one person working with me than three just working for me, because then I know that everything that I put forth will be done in a beautiful workmanship-like way. And I can be proud of it. Everyone can be proud of it. And it can be something that I like to do. So you might remember this talk as a screwdriver talk. However, it is speaking about the spiritual principle of first finding out what it is that you want to do, and then doing it with all your heart and all your soul and all your being to the highest and the best that you can do it. That's all it takes. When you do that, then you're really happy. Then you are spiritually aware and illumined. So have a lovely afternoon, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.